In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How much would you give to know the future? What would you give to see what's coming in the days or months or years ahead? Many people would give quite a lot. Human beings in general are captivated by the future. They speculate the unknown, attempting to reach into tomorrow for some peace of mind today. Unfortunately, this sometimes leads people into deceptive and dangerous practices. Horoscopes, psychics, astrology, fortune tellers, and the like. But for most of us, our interest in the future shows itself in a different way. We are, for instance, intrigued by time travel movies and, you know, that often show what the world might look like in 50 or 100 or 500 years. We listen carefully to analysts who make predictions about the future of the environment or the economy or the political landscape. And we enjoy listening to experts speak about life-changing inventions and technologies that can change our future forever. Of course, our interest in the future is not always not always simply a matter of curiosity. Many of us have serious and valid concerns about the months and years ahead. Am I going to find the right person to marry? Is my family life going to remain stable? What are my children going to become? Is my job going to be there down the road? Will my health hold up? Will I have to go to a nursing home? And what about our congregation? Where will we be 5 or 10 or 100 years from now if Christ does not return first? What does the future hold? What does the future hold? The only one who truly knows the answer to such a question is God Himself. And therefore, His Word is our only guide in this matter. The readings today speak about the future, though not about the specifics of everything that will happen. Their concern is not about America or the stock market or other political events. Rather, it is the future of God's kingdom and God's people. God does not simply wish to make us curious with the signs and prophecies that He reveals to us. His purpose is to calm our hearts and to assure us that in Christ we are forever safe in His loving hands, regardless of what we might see or experience. He reveals to us ahead of time some of the troubling things that will happen, so that when they do occur, we won't be shocked or think that God has somehow lost control. He also comforts us by showing the big picture of how things will turn out gloriously in the end for us who trust in Jesus. Knowing the ultimate certainty of this future gives us the strength and the confidence to live in the midst of the many uncertainties of today. Both the prophet Daniel and the Lord Jesus encourage us to take comfort in God's promise. If we were to ask the prophet Daniel, "What does the future hold?" he might respond, "Well, I've got good news and I've got bad news." First, the bad news in verse 1 of Daniel 12 that we read today. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. In that sense, the future doesn't look bright at all. In our day, some have the mistaken notion that humanity is always progressing to a higher and higher state, thinking that the next generation is better than the previous generation, and so eventually humanity may achieve a social and scientific paradise. But the picture that Scripture paints is quite different. While humanity may witness great advances in science, medicine, and technology, the Bible depicts human race as declining morally and spiritually, descending to greater degrees of foolishness and depravity, even as it claims to be growing wiser and more tolerant. This spiritual collapse will eventually make world conditions worse and worse until, right before they end, there will be a time of such distress that nothing in all of history will come close to matching it. Jesus' words in today's gospel reveal that whether or not we stand on the brink of the very end, the last days have begun. The end times actually began with Christ's death and resurrection, and that was almost 2,000 years ago. Many of the signs of the end that Jesus mentions have taken place. Jesus said in Mark 13, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name saying, 'I'm he,' and they will lead many astray." In the time since Jesus spoke those words, many have come claiming to be sent from God or to have some special revelation not found in God's word. These false prophets have led many away from the truth, claiming to be Christians. And even within the visible Christian denominations, there are more and more false prophets who dismiss biblical teachings on topics such as sin, sexuality, marriage, the person of Christ, and the pastoral office. They spread these new understandings that kill the soul. And their words are eagerly received by people with itching ears, all for the sake of being tolerant, non-judgmental, open-minded. If you think that present conditions are not bad enough to fit the terrible descriptions of the end times in Scripture, remember that the worst kind of distress is not physical, but spiritual oppression and suffering. The worst disaster is the loss of the gospel. On the surface, things may appear normal or even peaceful, but Satan's best work is done in secret, without people realizing that he is doing, or that he is the one doing it. Jesus' words are sharp and to the point. See that no one leads you astray. There is intense spiritual warfare right now in our land. More and more, the expressions of faith in Christ are prohibited in many places where the gospel used to be proclaimed loudly. Religious freedom has been twisted to mean freedom from religion. And the casualties from this spiritual battle are even more serious than those from physical wars, because those conquered by Satan spend eternity in hell. But Jesus warns, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Even apart from the violence in our communities today, the last 100 years have witnessed some of the most destructive wars in the world's history. And this nuclear and technological age has the potential for something far worse in the future. Jesus also said, there will be earthquakes in various places, there will be famines. Nature itself will act up in the last days. The creation itself will start to fall apart. We have certainly seen this happening in many ways, and perhaps some of us have experienced that even more personally. All of these things are part of the world's birth pains, and they will get worse before the birth of the new heavens and new earth that God promises to us. Now, with all this, should we just become fatalists and doomsayers? No. Now, Jesus doesn't want us to become fatalists or doomsayers, but he does give us a healthy dose of realism here so that we will remember what's really important. We are fallen people in a fallen world that is headed for judgment. We dare not let the humanistic philosophies of the day distract us from the fundamental reality. If it was not for God's intervention in our lives, we would be among those many people whom Daniel describes as condemned to shame and everlasting contempt. The appropriate attitude for us in these latter days is one of repentance and humility before God. Jesus tells us these things to prepare us for what lies ahead. Out of love for us, he has told us what to expect. We need strengthening to be able to live out our faith in this world and bear the cross. For God's people, suffering comes before glorious victory, just as it did for our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet that victory is ours as surely as Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father, ready to return for his people. All three of today's scripture readings focus our attention on the extremely comforting, fear-destroying, joy-giving good news of the final victory won for us by our God and Savior. The Lord Jesus has secured for his people an eternal home that will completely outshine any suffering or trouble we might experience. The message from God is a message of good news. Good news of triumph and gladness. The first bit of good news Daniel brings us is that while we await Jesus' return, we are receiving around-the-clock divine protection. The reading says, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge over your people. Michael is an archangel and leader of the company of God's angels. While some think of angels as delicate little beings sitting on a cloud playing a harp. The Bible portrays them as mighty warriors created by God and sent to protect his people on earth. One of them is capable of destroying 185,000 battle-tested Assyrian soldiers in one night, as 2 Kings chapter 19 tells us. Even now, an invisible war is being fought where God's angels are guarding us from the attacks of Satan and the other fallen angels who seek to hurt us not only in body, but especially in soul. And the good news gets better. Daniel declares, "At that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book." Daniel refers to the book of life, to the book of those who will be delivered into eternal glory of heaven. Is your name written in the book, in the Lamb's book of life? It is, as surely as you have been baptized and believe in Jesus Christ. For when God put his name on you with the water and the word, he also was inscribing your name in his book of those who belong to Christ. You are his. Through baptism, God incorporated you into Christ's death and resurrection, giving you the forgiveness of sins that he earned on the cross and the new life that came from him rising again. And the good news gets even better. Daniel tells us that our heavenly existence is not merely a spiritual one. He speaks here of the resurrection of our bodies. Heaven will be a tangible, physical place, yet completely free from any of the effects of sins. At Jesus' second coming, our bodies will be raised in glory, imperishable, immortal, just like Jesus' own resurrected body. The reading from Daniel says of believers, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." We will reflect in both body and soul the glory of God, our Creator and Redeemer. Jesus knew that we would face hardships in the last days. Natural disasters, dangers, famines, even persecution await God's people. Some will be martyred for their witness. Others will fall asleep in Christ after years of service to their Lord. However, whenever the end comes to us, Jesus promises to be with us always. His grace is sufficient to enable us to endure to the end. Confident in his mercy, relying upon his Spirit to guide and protect us through all adversity. When we ask the question, what does the future hold? What does the future hold? God doesn't give us all the details of the months and years ahead. He does not tell us that all that we might like to know. But he does tell us how our story is going to end. And it is indeed a wonderful ending. Having such a certain and bright future with our God gives us the confidence to know that he will work out all things for our good in the meantime, even in these troubled times. Trusting his promises, we can declare with the psalmist in Psalm 31, "My times are in your hands. My times are in your hands. The hands of Jesus. Once stretched out in death, that He might become for us the resurrection and the life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.